6. The Ultimate Gate.
I know this place,
he whispered into the silence.
This is the Eternity Gate.
Lorgar stared down the endless hall, wide enough to admit 1,000 men marching abreast, long enough to house every banner of honor from each of the Emperor's regiments. 100,000 banners, just in range of his genhanced eyesight. 1,000,000 reaching beyond it. 2,000,000. 3. More and more and more, as far as the eye could see, proudly heralding world after world clutched in the Imperium's grip. Each world raised countless regiments, their war flags hanging here to form an infinite tapestry. The hall itself, stretching for hours upon hours, was part cathedral, part museum, part sanctum of honor. In the furthest reaches, shadowed by the darkness abounding, stood two wolf-masked warhound titans, their city-killing guns trained upon the marble steps leading towards the great gate they guarded. The portal itself defied description. Words such as door and gateway implied comprehensible scope, something mortal minds could fathom without difficulty. This was no such thing. To construct such a barricade must have taken a full quarter of the remaining adamantium deposits on Mars, even before the ornate gold was added in layers upon the outer core of dense ceramite plating. A barrier so grand, so impossible in scale and majesty, could only be protecting the secrets of one soul above all others. Lorgar had been here, but rarely, for the Eternity Gate was the portal to his father's innermost sanctum, where the Emperor kept his personal genetic laboratory, sealed away from his sons and servants. For a time, Lorgar stood beneath the company banners of an army regiment hailing from a world called Valhalla. The imagery upon the flags was one of a white world and cloaked men raising pennants in the Emperor's service. Lorgar had never set foot upon their world and wondered how far it lay from Terra in the night sky. Perhaps its people were as cold and unwelcoming as the frost upon which they trod. "Why did you show me this?" he asked, turning from the hanging banners. Ingathel slid from the shadows, the fur around its swollen eye dark and wet with secreted fluids.
"Are you weeping?"
Lorgar asked the thing.
"No. I am bleeding."
"Why?" The demon's uneven jaws clicked together.
"It does not matter. Tell me, what do you see in this place?"
Lorgar took a breath, tasting the hot and sweat-ripened air of his armor's internal ventilation. "Can I breathe here?"
"Yes. We are no longer on Shenriatha."
Lorgar disengaged the seals at his collar and lifted the helm clear. Cold air caressed his face, while his next breath pulled a welcome chill into his burning lungs. He turned his calm, scholarly eyes upon the demon. "How did we leave the dead world?"
"We are there, and we are here. You will understand one night, Lorgar. For now, explanations are a waste of time and breath. Some truths cannot be contained by the mortal mind."
The Primarch smiled to hide the curl of his lip. "For a guide, you are doing precious little guiding."
"I am an emissary, a viator."
Ingathel slithered along the lush red carpet, leaving a slug's smear.
"You are here for all that it matters. You can breathe here and die here if we are not careful. The warp is everything and nothing, and you are adrift in its tides."
Very well. That would do, he supposed, for now.
"Do you hear that, Lorgar?"
Lorgar took another refreshing breath, letting the chill fill his chest. "Battle, in the distance." He shook his head. "This vision is a lie. The Imperial Palace has never been besieged."
"No. You look upon this endless chamber with mortal eyes. Use an immortal sight."
easier said than done. His sixth sense, never reliable, was a curled core within his mind, suddenly resistant to being unlocked in this place. With concentration, he managed to pry his psychic gift open, as if pulling apart the fingers of a stiffened fist. Lorgar managed to say, "I," before he was drowned in the battle raging around him. Ghosts waged war in every direction, their spectral bodies falling victim to the bite of each other's bolters and blades. The illusion was complete enough to force his body into a physical response, a quickening of the heart, a shallowness of breath, the crucial urge to draw steel and leap into the fray. He considered himself a seeker, a scholar before a soldier, but the battle's intensity demanded instinctive reaction. Through clenched teeth, Lorgar watched warriors in the clashing shades of Legionis Astartes' armor, fighting and dying at his feet. Amongst their chaotic ranks were beings of twisted inhumanity, their wrenched faces and bleeding bodies serving as ironclad evidence of their neverborn origins. Claws snapped and cleaved, fleshy tendrils of barbed skin lashed and coiled in strangling embrace, eyeless faces howled above the grating clatter of bolters. Thousands upon thousands of warriors, mortal and immortal alike, grinding and slaying, shrieking and roaring. Many bore wings of flame and smoke, while others soared to the high ceiling on chiropteran pinions, casting bat's shadows on the fighting below. These last demons hurled the struggling bodies of captured imperial fists down, bombarding the warriors below with their own brothers. Lorgar released a breath he hadn't realized he'd been holding. In a voiceless exhalation, he said the words, "Witness before me, the very heart of heresy." Ingathel hunched next to him. A reflection of the tumult showed plain in his swollen eye.
"Your own words, Emperor's child."
"No. A quote from an old covenant text." Lorgar stared as a towering figure, taller even than a Primarch, waded through a broken phalanx of imperial fists. The creature was clad in cracked fragments of ceramite armor, warped into a colossal image of legionary purity. The brutal familiarity of a Mark II snarl-mouthed helm had become a jawed monstrosity, crested by great curved horns of iron and ivory. Its hands, once human fists in armored gauntlets, were swollen into gnarled claws ending in scything black barbs, akin to a bird of prey's talons. Even from this distance, the aberration reeked of something poisonous. A perversely pleasant, cloying malignancy, promising death the moment its sweetness ever touched a tongue. The lethal, deceptive scent poured off the Leviathan in waves. "That creature," Lorgar watched with wide eyes. "It wears the armor of the legions, but I cannot mark its allegiance." Ingathel gestured with its two left arms.
"Do you see the warriors clad in cardinal red?"
Lorgar couldn't fail to see them. An entire legion unknown to him, their bolters crashing as they advanced in mixed ranks with the bellowing Neverborn. Imperial fists fell back before them, their numbers diminishing with each passing moment.
"They are the bearers of the word."
"They?"
"Yes, Lorgar. They are."
And they were. His legion. His own loyal sons, armored in a shade of spilled blood and oxidized iron. Prayer scrolls marked their armor, their piety declared with defiance, even as the parchments were ripped and scorched in the heat of battle. Many helms bore horns in mimicry of officer crests, and every shoulder guard showed a demon's twisted visage, wrought in blackened bronze. Watching them brought their chance to life. Who were these warriors, to adorn themselves in skulls and demons' faces, chanting ritual verse as they advanced? What had become of his legion? Ingathel pried the thoughts from Lorgar's mind.
"The future holds many changes, Primarch."
He didn't answer. Lorgar moved among the warring legionaries, utterly ignored by all of them. The warriors moved to fire around him, but paid no more heed to his existence. With a hesitant shove, he pushed one of the red-clad word-bearer's shoulder guards. The warrior cursed at a missed shot, moving aside and adjusting his aim. The bolter started up its thunderous refrain a moment later. Surrounded by advancing legionaries, the Primarch looked back to his guide. Ingathel slinked closer, its sinuous, muscled worm's body parting the crowded warriors with the same ease.
"This moment is 50 years distant from when we stand on Shanriatha."
"Why do they wear red?" Ingathel reached to one of the word-bearers, its nails streaking over the demonic visage on the warrior's pauldron. The legionary hesitated. For a moment, Lorgar wondered if the demon had made their presence known. Instead of noticing them, the warrior reloaded, immediately adding his fire back to the assault.
"The Legion's old armor was cast aside to herald the changes taking hold of humanity. They are no longer the bearers of the Emperor's word, Lorgar. They are the bearers of yours."
"This cannot be true!" The Primarch flinched as a bolt shell detonated nearby, killing the word-bearer closest to him. "You have still not told me what that creature is, the one that wears the armor of my legion 5 decades from now." He watched it move, its bunched musculature in concert with the exposed power cables and layered crimson ceramite armor. As it pulled one of the imperial fists apart with its immense claws, the black smoke misting from its wings was an acidic shadow, slowly eating into the golden armor of every Imperial Fist warrior nearby.
"Throne of the God Emperor," Lorgar whispered.
In the great beast's grip, the bisected Imperial Fist fought on, firing his bolter down into the demon's face. The armored creature hurled the warrior's legs aside, turning its corrupted helm from the shells cracking against its faceplate. Lorgar watched in silence as the winged demon slammed the halved Imperial Fist onto its taurine crown, impaling the legionary on its right horn. That, at last, stilled the warrior's defiance. His bolter fell from his hands, clattering down the shadow-wrapped wings. The demon fought on, untroubled by the weight of the armored torso punctured onto its ivory crest.
"What is that thing?"
the Primarch asked again.
"Its soul is... I do not have the words for it."
Lorgar stared through the grinding crash of unfolding carnage, peering to see beneath the monstrosity's flesh. Where a flaring emanation would pulse in a living being, and a hollow chasm would swallow light within one of the Neverborn, this creature possessed both. An ember burned hot in the blackness beneath its skin.
"It is not human!"
Lorgar's voice was strained by the effort it took to pierce the black mist shroud rising from the creature's wings.
"But it was."
He turned his eyes to Ingathel.
"Wasn't it?"
The words weren't a question. This time, Ingathel's tone betrayed some of the demon's own hesitation. The moment inspired some reluctance, perhaps a reverence, in the demon itself.
"That is your son, Lorgar. That is Argal Tal."
A peal of thunder roared from the Eternity Gate itself, as another winged figure landed amidst the melee. Its wings were torn and stained, ragged with rips and the white feathers streaked by blood. Its armor was a shattered ruin of split steel and burnished gold, while its face was masked by a golden helm. The blade in its hands rippled with psychic flame, bright enough to sear the sight from a watcher's eyes.
"No,"
Lorgar managed to whisper.
"And that is your brother," the demon pressed. "Sanguinius, Lord of Angels. This is how Argal Tal will die."
Lorgar froze after the first step forward. He began a breath in the hall before the Eternity Gate, and released it under a sky tortured by groaning volcanoes. The air had a ripeness to it, that spoiled, blackening reek of an open tomb. Despite the horizon aflame and choking on ash from the erupting mountains, little warmth reached his exposed skin. No wind stirred to freshen the air. The ground quivered in a prolonged shudder, giving a low, moaning rumble of tortured tectonics far below the grey earth. The planet itself objected to what was taking place on its surface. Lorgar's vision couldn't penetrate the blanket of ash swallowing the sky. To cover the heavens like that, the volcanoes had to have been erupting for months, at the very least. He turned to the demon, sensing its approach from behind. Where are we? Why did you bring us here?
A nameless world. We are here because you saw all you needed to see.
The Primarch laughed without intending to. Just as he mustered enough control to speak again, a second burst of laughter broke from his lips.
I fail to see the amusement, Lorgar.
You show me my armies laying siege to my father's palace, allied with demons, waging war against my brothers, and you ask why I wish to see more than a handful of seconds?
Lorgar shook his head, the laughter dying down.
I am finished with being led by the nose into your prepared lessons, creature.
Ingathel drooled.
What's your tone when addressing one of the gods chosen?
I am here by my own choice. I will leave here by the same virtue.
Yes.
The demon stood straighter, eliciting several wet cracks from his vertebra.
Keep telling yourself that, Lorgar.
The Primarch gripped his Crozius, aching to draw the weapon and wield it out of spite, swinging it in anger, reasserting control over life through the use of violence. In this, he was as any of his brothers, and he knew it. The desire was always there. What better way to bend reality to one's desire? Bleed those who would defy your choices, and there is no longer any opposition. The Destroyer's way was always an easy one. It fell to the builders, the visionaries, to do the difficult work. Lorgar did something none of his brothers would have done in his place. He released the weapon, leaving it undrawn, and took a calming breath.
I am here to learn the truth of the gods, Ingathel, and you are here to show it to me. Please do not force my temper.
The demon said nothing. Lorgar stared into its bloated eye, still weeping ichor.
Do you understand me?
Yes.
Now, tell me why you summoned me here. I heard the call of this place, the shrieking of my name through the solar storms. I came to maturity on a world where our ancient holy texts spoke of this dead alien empire as a heaven for humanity. I want answers, Ingathel. I want them now. Why have I been shaped from birth to be brought to this place? What does fate want of me?
The demon drooled again. Its gums were bleeding now, and two of its arms were curled close to its glistening chest. What is wrong with you?
I am nearing the end of this incarnation. My essence sits uneasily in this cage of bone and flesh.
I have no wish to see you die.
I will not die, as you perceive the concept. We are the Neverborn. We are also the Neverending.
Lorgar swallowed a pulse of irritation, not letting it rise to the fore.
True immortality.
In the only possible way.
The demon looked to the horizon, just as Lorgar had done only minutes before. Its gaze milked over, going turgid with thought.
You ask a question, despite already knowing its answer. You are here now because you have been summoned. You are here now because your life was engineered to ensure this moment took place. You are here now because the gods wished it. In the tangled skeins of time's web, I have seen innumerable possible futures where you never came to us, Lorgar. In one, you died in youth, the golden child martyr of Colchis, slain by assassins seeking to restore the old ways. When the Imperium came to reclaim you, they found a world dead by its own hand, lost to the crusades of bitter fanatics. In another, you were poisoned only 3 nights after retaking the capital in your holy war for the hearts of Colchis's people. You were murdered by the wine in your cup, with the poison placed there by the hand of one you called Father, for he feared you could no longer be manipulated. In another, you are not the master of your own temper, much like many of your brothers. In a confrontation with Sanguinius, you sank a knife into his back and were in turn butchered by Horus for your sin. In yet another, you defied the anathema, the creature you named the Emperor, falsely considering it to be human. And you were executed by your brothers Kurz and Russ. Your heart was cut from your corpse, and a great sorcery of alchemical and genetic power was wrought upon all who shared your bloodline. Your legion was poisoned, reduced to madness, and finally annihilated by the fleets of the Ultramar Kingdom. In another, you...
Enough! Lorgar felt pale, and suspected only his gold-inked skin hid that very truth. Enough, please.
As you wish.
The mountains continued to rumble with distant bellows as the world breathed fire into its own sky. Lorgar opened his eyes at last.
Why me? Why was I brought here? Why not Horus or Gilliman? They are the generals I will never be. Why not Sanguinius or Dorne?
He laughed then, a sneering private snort.
Why not Magnus?
Ingathel grinned, insofar as its mangled mouth would allow.
The gods have touched many of your brothers in ways both obvious and occluded. One of them bears wings upon his back. Is that part of your emperor's genetic intent? Did he not wish to destroy all religious reference? Why then would he breed a son that stands as an angel incarnate?
Lorgar brushed the point aside.
Enough cryptic idiocy. Why not Magnus? He is the most powerful of us all, without a shadow of doubt.
Magnus. Magnus the Red. The Crimson King.
Ingathel laughed inside Lorgar's mind and gestured out onto the plains.
He is already with us, whether he admits it or not. He came to us without needing to be summoned and without ever considering the notion of faith. He came for power, because that is why all things of flesh come to us. And in 5 short decades, when the galaxy begins to burn, he will come here himself. Behold this very world, Lorgar. In 50 years,